Hi, I'm Daniel Lenzian, host of Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios. Western New York Soundstage is a podcast that looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. Today I speak with Jessica Kearson, a comedian who will be appearing at the Helium Comedy Club in Buffalo on July 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Jessica is a real comedic craftsperson who has put the time and hours in to be effortlessly funny. She's made appearances on Comedy Central, Jimmy Fallon, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, The View, and many other television shows. Her countless comedic character videos have racked up over 200 million views on social media. Now, in an era where only 10% of all touring comedians are female, Jessica stands out as one of the strongest comedians, regardless of gender. In this episode, we talk about her upcoming shows in Buffalo, the conversation with her grandmother that led to her comedy career, her crowd conversations and social media presence, and her infamous prank calls.
Hi, Jessica. It's so great to speak with you today. Thank you so much for agreeing to be interviewed. That's wonderful to meet you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. So you were recently awarded the Best Female Comic by the MAC Association in New York City and received the prestigious Nightlife Award for Best Stand-Up Comedian. Did they actually give you an award or a paperweight for that?
Actually, that was a long time ago. I just want to be clear. But yes, sure. I got little awards for that. Yes.
Perfect. So you are hilarious and you're coming to the Helium Comedy Club in Buffalo on July 20th, 21st, and 22nd. The Thursday show is at 8, the Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and 10. We are really excited to have you come to Buffalo. Have you been here before?
I have. I did clubs there a very long time ago. I haven't been there in so long, but I'm so excited to come back.
Awesome. Great. Is there anything you hope to do while you're here?
You know, no, I just want to go around town and check things out. I just haven't been there in years. So I'm really excited to check out the town and, you know, go out for some good meals and go around and have people show me around. So
fantastic. Yeah. We have a great website for Buffalo Rising. We'll take care of all of that for you. So you are naturally sort of so funny. It seems like it's almost effortless. When did you know?
Thank you. Truly.
When did you know that you could be a comedian?
A lot of comics say this. I honestly don't know if it's really true or if they just think it. I mean this. I really was born silly. You know, I've been silly my entire life. I was a very nutty kid. You know, I always made faces and did voices and I would literally like sit in my room and just entertain myself. I was alone a lot. I was silly in class. I was always getting in trouble, you know, for making the other kids laugh. And I recognized the power of humor at a very, very, very young age. And I realized that humor heals and that it's, you know, I could win friends over by being funny and then I could heal my own pain by making fun of it and by, you know, making fun of myself, that it was important to be self-deprecating and that make fun of situations in my life. And I realized that I could heal people, that I could help them by making them laugh. I loved it. I really saw that at such a young age. You know, I never wanted to be a comedian. People laugh when I say this, but I really mean it. I still don't. You know, some comics love doing stand-up and I don't. Like when I'm up there, I love it. Like when I'm connecting with the audience, but I'm not like, you know, all day I'm not like, oh my God, I can't wait for my shows tonight. I never feel like that because I have anxiety. I have a major, you know, anxiety disorder. So I'm usually like more anxious during the day. But once I get up there and I'm with the crowd, I love it. You know, it's good for me.
Yeah. And that's one thing I noticed kind of, you have sort of an amazing library of short videos and YouTube videos, and they are so funny. Like it is, I mean, you either have a great editor or you're incredibly talented because every one of them is like joke and laugh and laugh. And your crowd work is so strong when you're talking to an audience, but it always feels so good natured. Why is crowd work important to your act? Yeah.
Because, you know, this is the thing. See, some people don't understand. They're like, oh my God, all she does is crowd work, which is completely not true. Like anyone who goes to my shows is like, I have an entire act, but I'm not going to put my act on YouTube and TikTok. And I'm doing a Netflix special, which I'm filming in October. And that's my entire act. Thank you. So my act is goes on TV and I get paid for it. But my crowd work goes up on the sites because I'm not getting paid for my crowd work. You know, like that's my act is not going to go up on my social media because that's going to go up on my Netflix special. So I'm very, you know, I've always been good at crowd work because I've always been good in the moment. Like that's my thing is improv, which not everyone can do. So some people not crowd work because they can't do it. You know, there's some comics who are like, oh, please, you're doing crowd work. And it's like, yeah, you're knocking it because you're not good at it. Like you're not good in the moment. And it's a skill. It's a skill that it took me years to be able to do it. And I got very good at it by hosting shows. I hosted shows for years in New York at the Comedy Cellar. And I did it night after night, show after show. And it's like a muscle. It's like going to the gym. Like you just get better and better at it the more you do it. And I love talking to the crowd because you get so much material by just asking the crowd questions and it's hysterical.
Well, and that's true of all the videos too, that it's like loving and good natured. It really feels like you're with a family member kind of like ribbing you or joking with you, which I just think is
great. Right. And I call it crowd conversations. I don't even call it work because it's more of like a conversation I'm having with someone.
Yeah, and it is hilarious. Are you a native New Yorker or from the sort of New York City tri-state area?
Yeah, I'm from New Jersey. I grew up in South Orange, New Jersey, and I live on Long Island now.
Gotcha. Great. I was born in Staten Island, so some of the sort of humor that comes through really feels so sort of home to me. Like I really get the sort of rhythms and stuff like that. I think it's hilarious. And whenever you sort of play the old lady character, it leaves me in stitches.
Yeah, everyone loves that. That's my grandmother that I'm acting and all her friends. I mean, that's...
I love it. I think it's so funny. And the face that goes with it, I wish the video was released because it is so, so, so funny. Just having you do that one face kind of leaves me in complete stitches. But it feels like a tribute to my grandmother though too, and a tribute to all our grandmothers.
It is. It really is. And, you know, the beautiful thing is my grandmother, and I've said this in other interviews, whatever, my grandmother is the one who told me to do stand up. I would have never, and I'm not kidding, I literally would have never, ever, ever, I don't think, done stand up if my grandmother didn't literally at a restaurant say to me, you know, come over to me. And I came over to her and she said, you need to be a comedian. And I said, what? I was in my 20s. And she said, you need to do stand-up comedy. You are a natural born comedian. I said, I could never do that. I could never stand in front of people. And she said, I'm telling you, I'm your grandmother. I know you your whole life. Every time you're sitting with people, they're laughing. Since you're a child, you need to try stand-up. You have to do it. And you need to do it before I pass. And I did. I took a class because of her. But I would have never done it because I was petrified of being in front of people. Isn't that amazing? I would have never, ever done it.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
That's, I think too, why like that sort of character is so ingrained in your act, right? Or from what I've seen of it, because the love and the kind of like guiding spirit comes through. It's beautiful. It's funny, folks. We swear. I know we're getting deep here for a second, but the act is very...
Well, it is deep. You know, this comedy comes as to you. There's a quote, comedy is tragedy plus time, you know, and it's really... It comes from all these moments in my life and it comes, you know, it does come from a lot of pain. And I think that's why people relate to me so much. I'm very honest about the stuff I've been through and my anxiety stuff and depression. And my fans really relate to all of it and they laugh about it and their own stuff because, you know, I'm so real in my act. And I think that's why people are attracted to my comedy because I'm so real and honest and it's not BS. You know, a lot of the comedy they're used to seeing is just people making fun of other people or just talking about politics and other stuff. And they're just, it's so different what I do.
100%. And I think this is why you're always on the road and touring. What's the best part of kind of being on the road and touring, and maybe what's the most difficult or worst part?
I love to travel. So I love being in different places and meeting new people and performing for different crowds. The worst part is, you know, the travel part of it, being in hotels, being alone a lot. It can be very lonely. And it's hard. I mean, that's definitely the hard part. I've been doing it for, oh my God, I've been doing it for 24 years. I mean, my 24th year of doing stand-up, which is incredibly crazy. It gets very, very lonely. it's also like very taxing, you know, it's exhausting sometimes because you're traveling from week to week to week. Sometimes it's you don't get a break.
Yeah.
But then again, presence,
it takes just to like be on stage with people and be sort of riffing and laughing. And what you're so good at must take so much energy.
It does, because a lot of my friends are like, listen, so I just stand up there and tell jokes. You're like very on and present and high energy. So for me, it's more tiring.
Yeah. I bet. Well, you have an album called The Call Girls with Rachel Feinstein, which is a prank call album. Why do we love prank calls?
Well, Rachel and I had a blast doing that because it was during COVID. We were both like, oh my God, we have to do something creative. We're like just home freaking out. And we both sat in our houses and we made this prank album where we called all these businesses and pranked them. And we each did it from home. We did all these different characters. And, you know, we both do characters. Rachel and I were best friends. And some of the characters are the same kind of, you know, old Jewish women, or we both do these like, hi, how you doing? Like these girls, these high-pitched voices. And so we called businesses, and a lot of them are based on COVID stuff. Like we called a massage parlor and asked for a socially distanced massage. It's really funny.
Oh, that's good. You know,
yeah, we called this old Jewish woman. We're like, we'd like a socially distanced massage. And the woman's like, what do you mean? Like, they have to touch you. Like, she was so confused. I'm like, does anyone there have very long arms? Like 6 feet long. It's really funny.
I sort of looking for that person after you called.
Yeah, exactly. I have been doing prank calls since the second I knew how to use a phone. I mean, literally, I've been getting in trouble for prank calls. I mean, I go to family events and my family begs me to do prank calls. You know, I just do them for fun. I'm out of my mind.
I think it's hilarious.
You know.
No, and yeah. that's awesome. So I'm also interested that you're a regular contributor to the Stern show, and you produce prank calls for the program. What's it like to work with Stern?
Yeah, I haven't been there in a little while, but I was there for a long time. And I used to go in and I can honestly say the hardest I've laughed in my career doing anything creative. And I've done a lot of different things in my career, but the hardest I've laughed is going in there and sitting with Sal and Richard and the writers and doing these prank calls. I used to sit there for hours and call businesses. I mean, I'm talking hours and hours and hours, and do these prank calls and different characters and different voices. And, you know, listen, sometimes you would get approval from the person after you called, and sometimes we wouldn't. I mean, it's so upsetting when you get the best call and then the person wouldn't approve the call, because you have to get them to say it's okay, you know, to use the call. And I also would, when Howard was live on air, I would also did another thing where I would sit with the writers and write, you know, for the show. And there was times when I would call in with Howard live on air, and that was very nerve-wracking to call in as a character with Howard, you know,
when
he was live. Yeah. Oh my God, that was scary. That was scary.
Yeah. You're a brave person. Yeah, that's brave. Yeah. You also produced FX Hysterical, which is a feature-length documentary. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. I was doing stand-up at a club called Stand Up New York in New York City, and this advertising agency was there. There were all women there for like a women's night out, and they saw me perform, and they were like, hey, we're looking to do this project, you know, film it about female comedians, kind of like a docuseries for a media company. I was like, okay, cool. I met with them. They decided not to do it, but my manager and I were like, let's try to do this thing anyway. So we met with a company in LA and we pitched this movie idea to FX, and they were like, yeah, let's do it, like right away, which doesn't happen. And we ended up making a movie, a documentary about female comedians, and FX bought it and put it on. It was like unbelievable. It was an amazing movie called Hysterical. And now it's on Hulu on demand, and it went to South by Southwest, and it did incredible. It's so powerful. Everyone should watch it, women and men. There's a ton of great comics in it. Kathy Griffin, Margaret Cho, Sherry Shepherd, Eliza Schlesinger, you know, Nikki Glaser, Fortune Feimster. I mean, there's so many people in it. And we all told told a lot of our stories and it follows us and there's a lot of stand-up in it. And I'm so proud of it. I executive produced it and created it. And I've done so many cool things and I have a bunch more stuff coming out. And I just have had an incredible career. Like it's amazing.
Yeah, but
I never dreamed of it.
I think that that's clear too, right? To say, yeah, these opportunities have come, but you're also a hilarious person that did the hours, you know, hosting and comedy clubs and like,
oh my God,
a real craft person too, right? We can't kind of put that away. Like you have these opportunities, but you are the real deal.
No, I thank you. I have to say, I have worked my ass off. And like, there are so many comics coming up now that don't put the work in. They don't work hard. They're like, why can't I get that? And I'm like, oh my God, I have worked so hard. When I started out, I did open mics every night, 3, 4, 5 horrible shows. I used to perform in a laundromat on 7th Avenue.
Oh,
I would perform for 2-3 people with a little amp with my friends, like a Radio Shack amp. And like, you know, every Wednesday. Yep. And I would perform in a deli and like a donut shop. And we would do comedy anywhere we could, anywhere where we could just have a mic. And I would, you know, be on the street flyering and just, you know, for just people to show up and just listen to us. And I deserve everything that's happening for me right now. I mean, I can honestly say that I have worked really hard.
Yeah. And Buffalo audiences need to come out and see, because they're going to be guaranteed an amazing night of laughs and entertainment and material and crowd conversation and everything that you deliver.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. No, I really mean it. This is the end of sort of my interview questions, but I always like to end an interview by asking someone, is there anything that you feel like we've left unsaid or anything that you want to share? Obviously, I'll share your dates again, but anything that you'd like to say?
Well, thank you. First of all, this has been a great interview. They're not always this good. Sometimes they're horrific. So I appreciate
that. That was my great. Listen, and with someone as quick as you, I was like, I better be on it because this woman will.
No, you're great. You've asked great questions. Yeah. Sometimes people ask the worst. Anyway, what I want to say, which is important, is that I really purposely appeal to men and women, and people should really know that because I've done that my whole career. And I think that's another reason why, you know, my career has blown up the way it has, is because, you know, there's a lot of men that come to see me without any women, and which is unheard of for female comics. You know, a group of 5-6 guys will come to my show without their girlfriends or wives, which you don't see that with a female comic. So I appeal to everyone, all different groups, all different kinds of people come to my shows. It's high energy, fast pace. I give you a show, 110%. I just encourage people to come out and laugh and let go for a while and have a drink or two or 10 and just laugh. People need to laugh and not be sensitive and just come out. And I don't do political stuff. I don't talk about what's going on in the news, and just have fun. Get out and have fun for the night.
That's it. Well, they are certainly going to get that if they go to the Helium Comedy Club. Jessica, I want to thank you so much for your time. It was amazing talking to you. And I can't wait for Buffalo audiences to experience your work at the Helium Comedy Club.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's our show for today. It was great to laugh and talk with Jessica Kearson. Her show will be at the Helium Comedy Club on July 20th, 21st, and 22nd, and tickets are available at buffalo.heliumcomedy.com. Jessica was so generous with her time and answers, and I hope you will all go see her and laugh with her when she is in town. She can be found at jessicakearson.com. Thanks from Western New York Soundstage and Buffalo Rising. Today's show was produced by Jessica Marinelli. The episode was engineered by Addison Schoonmaker. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local event guides posted bi-monthly on buffalorising.com. We will be back soon with more episodes where we will discuss our local creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. Thanks for listening to Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios.